When a person davens, his space, he takes up space. He has a square box of dalid amos. And there is a halacha that a person is not allowed. There are really two halachas that we have to talk about, two different halachas. Number one is that you're not allowed to sit, period, in those dalid amos while someone else is reciting Shemoneh Esrei. And then there is another halacha that even if you're standing, you're not allowed to pass in front of him while he is davening the Shemoneh Esrei. And before we go into the details of those halachas, of where they come from, why it's so, we first have to understand that when a person davens, he is granted a very specific makom. He takes up space. He acquires an area, a specific location. And let's go further. We all know there's a principle that it comes to the Beis HaKnesses. A person should have in the Beis HaKnesses a makom kavua, a very specific and set location to daven. We learned this. Oh, we have cups. Thank you so much. Who did you question, by the way? What were you doing?
I asked downstairs.
And they gave you?
Yes.
Okay, you know, but I have to go see. I have to go. I can't go. Should we start with the? You want coffee?
Your choice.
I don't want to get. We already started with the show there. If you want, then it's very easy. It's just fill the thing in the back. Okay. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Okay. We have a halacha. We have a halacha called min koveya makom. Anyone that Chazal tells anyone that is a koveya makom litfilosoi elokei Avraham yihye beezrei. If you are koveya makom for your tefillah, Avraham Avinu is there at your side and is asking Hashem that your prayer should be accepted. There is a benefit in having a very specific location to daven, to repeat every time you daven, to come back to that makom and repeat your tefillahs in that same makom. We learned this principle from this week's parasha. What do we learn from this week's parasha? We learn about the first major Yom Tefillah in world history. What was the first major Yom Tefillah in world history? Sodom. Hashem said, Sodom is coming to an end. Avram Avinu, he sent out a WhatsApp, a text, an email, put up signs all over the city. It's a Yom Tefillah. We're going to fast. Everyone's going to come. We're going to daven for the people of Sodom. And Avraham prayed and he said, Hashem, maybe you can find here 50 tzaddikim and in their merit you can save the city. Hashem says, nope, there are no 50 tzaddikim. How about 45? How about 30, 20, 10? And at the end of the day, Avraham Avinu, he did not succeed. Pasuk says, and the Pasuk tells us, after he was unsuccessful, Hashem destroyed Sodom. The Malachim went and they pulled out Sodom and his wife, Lot, and his wife, and his two daughters, and they were spared. And as they were leaving Sodom, it was destroyed. Whatever that means, Hashem pushed down dynamite, boom, the whole place went up in smoke. And the Pasuk makes it very clear, Vayafoich es ha'orim ho'el, v'eis kol hakikar, v'eis kol yoshe ha'orim, v'tzemach ho'adama. The whole earth was completely obliterated, even the grass, the tzemach ha'adama. V'atabeit ishtoi me'acharo, v'atinitziv melach, and there was collateral damage. The wife of Lot, she turned around, she disobeyed a direct order from the malachim, she looked back to see what was going on, and she turned into a pillar of salt. The next pasuk says, it's over. Okay, so it's over. It's over. Avraham established a Yom Tefillah to pray for the people of Sodom. Hashem did not accept his prayer, or at least the results that he expected did not happen. Now it's over. The city was destroyed. The very next pasuk says, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. He wakes up the next day, the day after the elections, El Hamokoim. And he goes back to the same location, the same location where he stood the day before praying for the people of Sdom, Asher Omad Shom Es Pinei Hashem. Goes back to the same place. Chazal Darshan, he went back to Davin again. For what? Whatever. Every day you Davin Shachris, every single day. Where did he go? He went back to the same location. From here you learn that a person should be koveya amokoim for his tefillah. What does Rashi say in Pasuk of Zion here? Rashi, there is no Rashi on this Pasuk. But Chazal learned from this Pasuk, he went back to, and this is the makar for koveya amokoim litfilosai. Even after he first davened with his full heart and soul to save the people, and his prayer was rejected, the very next day, Vayashkeim Avram Aboker, the Pasuk goes out of its way to tell us he returned to exactly the same location to daven again for whatever he needed to daven for. We learn here the value of being koveya amokoim litfilosai. And if a person follows in the ways of Avraham, then you can bet that Avraham will be your advocate in Shemayim, asking Hashem that your tefillah should be accepted. Now, there are a lot of things to learn from this story. Number one, it's very fascinating that the mo'okar of learning from this story is not where Avraham succeeded in his prayers. He failed. It was a miserable failure. The whole city was obliterated. And even though the whole, so you would think, you know, this is the, you would say, you know, it's not good mazel. This mokoim is bad mazel. Because this mokoim, I davened here, and my prayers were rejected. So when I, tomorrow morning, when I have to daven for the next item on the agenda, every day there are new challenges, there are new issues which require tefillah, I'm not going back to daven in this shul, because in the shul that I davened yesterday, Hashem did not accept my prayer. So tomorrow I'll go to another shul. If I'm in one shul, instead of davening by the Mizruch, tomorrow I'll daven by the Maariv, because my prayers were not accepted. Obviously, there is something wrong. Not with me. I'm perfect. The problem is the Mokoim. I should have been sitting on the Maariv, not on the Mizruch. I should have davened in this shul, not in that shul. Avraham Avinu, the Rosh HaMaminim, he teaches us wrong. The problem is with you, not with the Mokoim. Koveya Mokoim L'Tfilosai is a revelation. It's a very important principle, because it's inevitable that if you daven every single day in the same Mokoim, you're going to lose a lot of battles. That's the way life goes. You don't win them all, you lose. And when a person loses, you always question, why did I lose? Is it because maybe there's something wrong with me? Maybe people don't like me. Maybe I've antagonized people. Maybe my policies are just not acceptable to half the country. Or maybe, no. I am perfect. The problem is with you. Or the problem is with the environment. The problem is with the circumstances. If a person davens in the same location every single day, it's inevitable that he's going to lose a lot of battles. And by returning to the same location, this is a statement that the problem is me. The problem is not external environmental situations and other people. It's a revelation of a true perception of reality and a true connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu, the next day, he didn't say, you know, the mokum where I davened, my technique was not a good technique. No. Everything I did yesterday was good. I'm going back. El HaMokoy Masher Omat Sham. I'm going back to the same exact location, even though yesterday the result was an abysmal failure. The whole city was obliterated off the face of the earth. Ad kedei kach atzema chasode. And even Lot, that was saved, there was enormous collateral damage. Lot's son-in-laws didn't want to come to begin with. And even Lot's wife, when he thought all was good and safe, even she dies. That didn't make him happy. Can't go say big deal. That's an enormous tragedy. Their two daughters, they lost their mother. And they lost their husbands. How do you think they felt? This was a miserable situation over here for everyone. And Avraham Avinu, didn't say, oh, the problem was the makom. Had I gone to a different yeshiva, had I davened in a different shul, had I lived in a different community, then I would not find myself in this predicament, in my life. No. I am where I'm supposed to be. I'm in the right community. I went to the right yeshivas. Hashem gave me the right family. I'm in the right makom. If there's a problem, we don't know why. Don't blame the makom. Work with what you have. Have emunah and work with what you have. This is the deeper meaning of kol hakoveya makom litfiloso. Because we all know that you're going to fail big time every once in a while. And the solution is not to abolish the makom and go somewhere else. The solution is stick it out and find a way. And obviously, you know, there are exceptions to the rule, obviously. Sometimes it's time to go. Okay, that's I'm not talking about. I'm talking about in general. You know, they always say, they say, this is more of a joke, but it's not a joke. It's a serious business. If a person comes every single day to shul and one day doesn't show up, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he is...
Where is he?
He gets... Hashem has an extra special concern. Why? Why is that so? So there's a joke. It's not really a joke. The joke is, if you daven in the same shul every single day, it is impossible for you not to have a long laundry list of complaints. The gabbai, he didn't give me this aliyah. I didn't get to daven for the yom on this day. And this one insulted me. So if you have a long list of complaints, why do you still daven here? Go somewhere else. Go to the next shul. Go somewhere else. So the answer is, I'm not davening. If I'm still davening here, it's because the reason why I'm davening is because I'm davening to Hashem. I'm not here for social activity to be buddy-buddy with the gabbai and with the rabbi and with all the people who are in the shul, because it's inevitable that you're going to have issues. And you still...
Rabbi, did I miss something when you said that Mamre Chazal...
I said the Chazal at least three times. I said the Chazal a few times already. Will you hear the whole time?
I guess I was awake. Okay.
So that's how we start. We started with that Chazal. Yeah. We said already three times. Kol Kaveya Makom Litfilosei Elokei Avraham Yehei BeEzrei. So. This is the deeper meaning of this Chazal. The deeper meaning of this Chazal. So going back to our semi joke. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because obviously, if you keep on coming back every single day to the same location, it's because you're here l'shem Shamayim. In life, nothing lasts forever. There's always going to be a problem. And if the only reason why you're coming to shul is for the social activity, for being accepted, for getting what you want, you're not going to get what you want. That's the way the world goes. You're out. You're going to go seek greener pastures. You're not going to come back. But if you're coming here l'shem, you're coming back. Obviously, you're coming here l'shem Shamayim. It's the same thing. If a person davens every single day, it's inevitable you're going to suffer defeat. And if you still come back to the same makom, it is an acknowledgement of your true emunah that the reason for the defeat has nothing to do with the environment, your surroundings. And therefore you are deserving that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be with you. You should have extra siyata d'shmaya because you're really in tune with reality that your tefillah is a tefillah to come close to Hashem. So this is the basic principle. We learn it from Avraham, specifically Avraham coming back to David in the same location after he suffered a massive defeat. He still came back to the same makom to David to be close to Hashem. Now, as an extension from this, there are many branches of this principle. First of all, why do we have a Beis HaKnesses? Why is there such a thing that we daven in a Beis HaKnesses? Why can't we daven in a social hall? Why can't we daven in the street? Daven in any room? Why is there such a principle in Halacha that the place to daven should be a place designated as a makom for prayer? Time of Chazal, it's very clear. There were two different types. We always speak about this. There were two different types of structures. There was a building called the Beis HaKnesses, and there was a building called the Beis HaMedrash. And they're a very, very different set of rules, code of conduct of what you are allowed and not allowed to do in the Beis HaKnesses, and what you are allowed and not allowed to do in the Beis HaMedrash. And in fact, it's pretty clear that in ancient times, in the Beis HaMedrash, there was no davening. The Beis Medrash, there was learning 24/7. And in the Beis HaKnesses, there was no learning. In the Beis HaKnesses, they davened. Did they daven the whole day? I don't know. But they certainly had a davening, a shachris, a mincha, and a ma'arif. If you were in the Beis Medrash and you need to daven shachris, so you go next door to the Beis HaKnesses at the appointed time to daven shachris. Mincha, you go to mincha. And when you finish mincha, you go back to the Beis Medrash. It's not the same place. There is a Gemara that says, Abaye says that by me, I daven bein amude, between the pillars, which means to say, he davened in the same place where he learned Torah. So there is such a principle that where you combine together learning and davening. There's no question about it. Amar Abaye, this is siyat d'shmaya, to learn the place where you, to learn to daven in the place where you study Torah. But generally, for the public, for the masses, they were two separate buildings, and the two did not overlap. Today, in our world, it's not like that, obviously. There's no such thing as the Beis Medrash where you don't have minyanim, where you daven, shachris, mincha, ma'arif. And every shul has learning. And what about all the rules in Shulchan Aruch of what you're allowed to do, you're not allowed to do? They go out the window. Why do they go out the window? Because, for other reasons, because we are unable to maintain, to give these locations the sanctity that they truly deserve. So what do? Because we cannot contain the sanctity, what we do instead is we make a tenai. Basically, it's a given that every single shul today and every single Beis Medrash is built conditionally that it should not be holy. That's really what it's all about. And that's why you can make announcements and there can be events and you could even have a wedding inside some shuls according to some opinions. And a lot of things that take place in shuls really should not take place in shuls. But the reason why they take place in shuls is because today, if we would give the shul its full sanctity, we would be in violation of many, many severe halachos in the Torah, in Shulchan Aruch, and we don't want to be in violation. So we limit the sanctity of our batei kinesios, the batei midrashos, so that we should not be in violation. And we try the best we can to still give it the sanctity that it does really deserve. So let's take a step back. Why do we have, in general, places designated for tefillah? So one answer is, the simplest answer is, kol ha-koveya mokoim l'tefilosoi elokei Avraham yehei be'ezro. Nothing to do with the second reason we're going to give soon of a Beis HaMikdash. Purely because, just like on an individual level, we're all familiar with this principle of a mokom kavua, that in the place where you daven, you should have a set seat. You sit in one specific seat, and you don't every day, one day you feel like davening in the back, one day in the front, one day on this side of the bima, one then the other side. One day you daven in the rabbi's seat. Some people have very strange ideas of where they want to daven. Every day they move around. It doesn't just refer to the individual, that every individual should select a specific location, the Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash. It refers to the tzibur. The tzibur should designate a mokom l'tfilosai. Because when you designate a mokom l'tfilosai, it is a statement that your prayer is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as we explained, it's inevitable. You're gonna fail, and when you still come back, like Avraham Avinu, that goes to show that you're serious about your mission, and it's not about the environment. it goes for the tzibur, the purpose of having a Beis HaKnesses in general, and the Beis HaMedrash in general, is kol ha-koveya mokom l'tfiloso. And in fact, this is the ikur. How do you know it's the ikur? Because of the other reason that we just said. Let's explain. What's probably the more popular reason why we have a Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash? You go out onto Avenue M, and you stop your average yeshiva bachur on the street, and you ask him, why do we daven in shuls? Why don't we just daven in backyards and daven, I don't know, in social? We have to have a shul with Aron HaKodesh and a bima. What's this whole institution of shul, of batei kinosios, batei midrashos for tefillah? And they're going to answer you, don't you know? It's a pasuk. I think I don't even know where the pasuk is. I'm so embarrassed. Ve'ehi lohem lemikdash me'at. Ve'ehi lohem. Where is that pasuk? I forgot where that pasuk is. Okay, it's in Yeshaya. Maybe it's in Yirmiyah. I think it's in Yirmiyah. I don't remember. Ve'ehi lohem. Hashem says, I will be for them a mikdash me'at. Even though I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash because of their sins, and the divine presence will leave this holy place, I'm sending you out into Golos. In Golos, you will establish Batei Kinesius, Batei Midrashos. It will be miniature Batei Mikdashos, a place for Hashem's resting place. His divine presence will rest in a Mikdash Me'at. And in Yirtz Hashem, when Mashiach will come, Chazal tell us that these mikdashos, these small miniature batei mikdashos, will be uprooted and taken from Chutz L'Yaretz and transplanted in Eretz Yisrael. People laughed at this. Impossible. Guess what? Today there's technology where you can pick up the Ungizel of Midwood. You can pick up the whole building. Can you believe this? There's technology out there. Just a matter if they want to do it or not. They want to shut down all the bridges. Or build new bridges. You can pick up the whole shul and you can bring it somewhere in one piece. There is such technology available out there, and Chazal said that's what's going to happen. So that has nothing to do with Koveya Makom L'Tfilosei. That tam is, this is a dugma of the Beis HaMikdash. That tam, that reasoning has nothing to do with Koveya Makom L'Tfilosei. It's Hashem's place where Hashem rests his divine presence. If Hashem is resting his divine presence in your local shul, well, if you want to dive into Hashem, wouldn't it be a good idea to go there? There'll be a more intensity in your prayer if you'll be closer to the source of his holiness. It has nothing to do with being koivea makom l'tfilosai. But I told you, even though we have this principle, ve'ohi lohem l'mikdash ma'at, today, the ikur principle is what? Koivea makom l'tfilosai. How do you know that? Because our shuls and batei midrashos do not have kedusha. Why not? We don't give them, like we just said before, we choose not to give them kedusha. Because if we would give them the kedusha to fulfill what it really says, v'ahi lohem l'mikdash ma'at, we would be finished. You're not allowed to talk one word in the shul. You're not allowed to eat in shul. You can't even say lashon hara. Can you believe that? Even that you can't do in shul. You can't do anything like this in shul. We would not be able, we couldn't survive a day if we would actually make our shuls into the true mikdash ma'at. Mm-hmm. So we build it al tanai. It's a tanai. Really, there shouldn't be such intense kedusha. We'll make believe. We'll have a beautiful shul on Kodesh and everything, all the bells and whistles, all the trimmings, and we'll daven there. But it's lacking kedusha, so it's not a real mikdash ma'at. Because if it was a real mikdash ma'at, there's a real complex set of rules. So what then is today's batei kinesios, batei midrashos really all about? Primarily, kol ha-koveya makom l'tfilosai. It's not a halacha for the yochid. We make a mistake and we think, oh, it's a din in shul. Where do you sit? Assigned seating. Your seat is seat 34, row D, seat 34. No, it's the tzibur has a din in koveya makom l'tfilosai. Okay, that's a very important point.
I had another explanation of this. Atfilah he didn't come to the knot. The korban chutz limikomo basul. As gamat filat chaliot bim komo.
Right, but that's more.
This is my korban here.
That. But that idea really goes together with the principle that it's a mikdash ma'at, because then the tefillah is b'makom karban. So that's really part of that idea. I think there are two separate reasons why we have a base, we daven in a shul. Number one, like what you just said, a mikdash ma'at, in the mikdash they brought karbanas, and our tefillahs are on the shalom of fadim sefaseinu. And that, and you're saying very good that if you bring the carbon chutz lemakoyma yitzchiv karis shkuti chutz, if you daven outside, if you bring the carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, then there's a chiv karis. If you daven outside the Beis HaKnesses, that's not a tefillah. And now it's not a tefillah, you're not even allowed to. It's a zilzal in the tefillah. It has to be in the mikdash ma'at. Absolutely.
And in my seat. Wherever my seat
right, is. Then you go even less. Then you go even further. Then you go deep on a private level, going even further. Very good. But then there's another principle that has nothing to do with the mikdash ma'at, the Beis HaMikdash with korbanos. It's purely a makom. Your makom. You have to establish a makom, and we learned that from Avraham Avinu. Avraham did not go to a shul. Avram didn't go to a shul. When Avram davened for Sodom, he davened for Sodom in the street. Doesn't say davened for them in a shul. He davened wherever he davened.
No, there was no shul at that time.
Right. He davened, but he didn't daven in a holy place. He went and he designated Avenue L, Coney Island, by the stop sign, by the traffic light. This is the Mokon. He designated the Mokon. And the net, what's the milo, what is the advantage? So we explain an approach to understand what's the advantage. Because when you inevitably fail, and you still come back to that makom, that is a statement, is that my prayer is not about where I am. A person who's not happy, you're always blaming, it's human nature to blame your environment. You see, many, unfortunately, they're students. So what happens, many students, they learn 1 year in this yeshiva. And the next year, they go to another yeshiva. And the next year, another. And by the time they get married, you wonder, where did the boy learn? Well, he has a resume. And the resume has 10 yeshivas. 10 yeshivas. Why couldn't he just learn in one yeshiva? And no, because he was searching, you know, he's searching for shlemos. So he went to this yeshiva and that yeshiva. So in other words, The yeshiva that he started out was no good. That's the reason why he did not achieve shlemus, because it was lacking. I don't know, it's a very big, very popular yeshiva. They have 1,000 boys in that yeshiva, and he's saying that yeshiva didn't do it for him. It didn't work. So he went to another very popular yeshiva, and there was a chesaron in the yeshiva, because, you know, it wasn't a match. Every person needs the right yeshiva, so the yeshiva was not good for him. And then another, and another, and another. You know, maybe the problem was with the boy, not with the yeshiva. Maybe. If you go, you switch one time or two times, all right, then I guess you can say, you know, every pot needs a special size cover. Every foot needs a different size shoe. But every day, every year, another, and sometimes even within 1 year, you went to two yeshivas. So what does that mean? It means the problem is not with me. The problem is with you. Kol HaKoveh Makom LeTfilasa is a powerful statement as a hakdama to your prayer, that it's my problem. It's not the environment. It's not external things. I got to get my business in order. I have to put things together. That has nothing to do with the sanctity of the Makom. And today, that's the primary reason, because today we really don't have sanctity of the Makom. Our shuls are very nice. And they're very holy, and we behave ourselves the best that we possibly can in the shuls, some shuls more, some less. But the facts are that today there's no one's gonna make a shul into a shul that follows what it says in Shulchan Aruch, because you couldn't survive a single day in such a type of shul like that, where you're not allowed to talk, not even one word. The Sfardim do this sometimes, you know, they don't have a tainus dibur, and you're not allowed and you're not allowed, you know, the whole long list of things you can't do, all these things. So today there's the principle of kaveh makam l'tefillah. So okay, these are the first you cite. We have over here Avraham Avinu, an incredible lesson from Avraham Avinu, what he did. He came back to Davin the day after an abysmal failure, and we learned called kaveh makam l'tefillah, Elok Avraham Yeh be'ezrai, and this applies to the tzibur, to designate mekoymos for tefillah. And we have the other time for a Beis HaKnesses because of Helem L'mikdosh Me'at. And certainly the two of them, they go very well together. It's a good team. We put the two together, the Mikdash Me'at and Kriya Makam L'Tfilas. And then we have also on an individual level that an individual should sit in your seat. Don't walk around every single day. Now, other people will tell you, now this is a third mahalak, a third approach, something which really is outside the framework of what it says here in the Psukim and Chazal, is that just talk to a psychologist. Talk to a psychologist, they'll tell you, meditation, how does meditation work, is to keep on repeating the concept again and again. Now today you'll say the person has OCD, but isn't that what we do every day? We say the same Shemona Esrei again and again and again. What do psychologists say about Orthodox Jews? Every single day you say the same Shemona Esrei three times a day? You need help.
Why
don't you need help?
Failed.
What?
He davened, he got an agreement with 10 people, and there were not 10
okay,
people.
So
it's not his fault.
He was hoping for better results. You're right. There's no. We have a principle. There's no such thing as a tefillah that goes that's empty-handed. You don't know the cosmic effect of the tefillahs. And Hashem stores the tefillahs for a later period of time. So you can't say you failed, chas v'shalom. But it means, listen, we're here for a purpose today. We got a problem. Sodom is slated for destruction. My goal is when I finish davening, Sodom should get a pass. Okay, did he achieve that result? No. Were his tefillahs wasted? Chas v'shalom. Every tefillah has an effect. It changes you. It changes the world. It changes you, more importantly. But did the results, were they successful? No. So you'll say, maybe if I daven in a different shul, a person can say, this year I had an issue in my life. You know why? I hear people talk like this. Where did I daven in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? I davened in this shul. I should have davened in the other shul. I should have davened in yeshiva, where they davened the whole day. I should have been in an environment with holy people who learned the whole day. I made a mistake. I should have davened in a holier place, and if I would have, instead of davening here, it would have been a different year. It's shtus. Mm-hmm. That's hevel. That's hevel. This is futility to say such a thing. Don't go blame your issues on the environment, on your surroundings. You work on yourself. That's part of being koveh makom l'tefillah. We're going in circles over here. Now there's another reason, but this is really just an outgrowth. This is really secondary. This is where you say that the chicken came first and the egg came second. So here's where the egg comes, is that there's an advantage of being, once you're koveh makom l'tefillah, so there are less distractions. If you come every single day to the same place, the same seat, the same sitter, there are less distractions. There's more of a possibility for you to concentrate on what you're here for. Daf Yomi, not that long ago, we learned in Daf Yomi, I don't remember already, where that Bizman, one of the Amoraim, the Tanaim, said that Bizman Hazeh, no one is held accountable for not davening with Kavana. Because the difficulties of Golos are so great. There's so much stress in life. There's so many problems. It's humanly impossible to concentrate, to focus, when you have a lot of things that bother you. I know personally, I get a text message before I start the shiur, and I don't like what it says in the text message. It bothers the whole shiur. It really bothers me. It really, it just eats me to pieces. Okay, last night I was learning Daf Yomi. Right before the Daf Yomi, I got a text. something personal in my life, no big deal. It's about kavod. Okay, it was all about kavod, honor. That's really what it's all about, kavod. And I got a message, and it really bothered me. It really bothered me a lot. And I really was very disturbed. I had a hard time giving the shir. Because, no, that thing last night was a joke in the big picture of things. It's a laughing. We have real problems, health issues, children, parnasa, ha ha. And you're going to be able to concentrate on the Shemona Esrei. So it was a Tano in Amora. I don't remember who it was who said, Yecholi lifters kol ha'oila min hadin. I can exempt the entire world from judgment. And there is, what are you talking about? What I meant to say is, from the judgment of not concentrating during davening. Because galus, distractions, tzoros. How could you concentrate? Then the Gemara goes on to say a story. He says that I know that if my mother asked me to go buy a loaf of bread, I think of something like that. If I'm in Beis Mesedim, I'll just extrapolate. If I'm here learning second Seder in Yeshiva, and my mother sends me a text message that on the way home after you finish learning in the afternoon, please pick up in the bakery a loaf of bread. Bring home a half a loaf of bread to the house. I can't concentrate anymore because since I have something to do, so my mind already is distracted. It sounds like a joke, right? You have to learn. You have to train yourself. You have to really train yourself. It's a life work to train yourself to remove from your mind distractions and frustration in life in order to concentrate. But that's a side benefit from koveya makom litfilasoi. If you go to the same shul and sit in the same seat and he's the same sitter and listen to the same boring chazan every single day, he has the same bal tefila every single day. I mean, how boring could it get, right? So then there's nothing else to do but to daven. If all of the external stimuli are just as boring as can be, because I know everything inside out, then guess what you're going to do? Let me then apply my concentration to the words and to communicate with Hashem that my prayers are answered and I succeed in the tefillah. There's a benefit, there's a side perk in being koveya mokoim litzfilosai. And that is you remove distractions and you increase your chances of being able to fully concentrate on the purpose of coming to daven. So that's already a third principle. Now let's talk for a moment we'll come back to Agada in a moment, but let's talk some basic halacha. Okay, we just started today with some basic halacha. There are two basic rules about being oimed, about people in have a makom. Person is davens, so he now established he's kaveh makom litzfilos for all the different reasons. Is someone allowed to sit down within your Dalid Amos? Now, and let's be very lenient and assume that an Amma is an Amma is a foot and a half. Okay, so that's 18 inches. 18 inches is 1 foot. So we give you Dalid Amos. Dalit Amos is about 6 feet by 6 feet. So imagine you're davening, and you're davening, you're really in a box. That's so clearly you're in a box. Like where on the box are you? In the back of the box? In the center of the box? It's not even so clear exactly where you are, but let's assume for a moment you're in the center of a box. And the box is 6 feet by 6 feet. Many schools have tiles on the floor, and the tiles are the size of 1 foot tiles. So you go, you can count three tiles to your left, three tiles to your right, three tiles up, three tiles back. That's your box. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's clear as day that someone who's davening Shemoyne Esrei, no one who's within, let's say, 3 feet, let's be very lenient now, 3 feet in all four directions, is allowed to be sitting. You're not allowed to sit. You're not allowed to sit there. Because the person who's there is in the presence, there are two reasons for this principle. You're in the presence of Hashem, and you're not allowed to be there. That's his makom for the Shemona Esrei. Where do we learn this from? Chana. Chana said to Eli HaKoyin, Chana on Rosh Hashanah, she came to daven the Beis, according to the Medrash, it was Rosh Hashanah, it was Mincha time, she came to the Beis HaMikdash, and she was davening Shmoyne Esrei. She was davening the Shmoyne Esrei of Mincha. And Eli HaKoyin is observing her. He's watching her daven, and she's moving her lips, and Eli suspects that she was intoxicated. And after she finishes her Shmoneh Esrei, she gives Musar to the Kohen Gadol. And she says, I'm a Keshas Ruach, I'm a bitter woman, and it was I who was standing here together with you. Question is, why does she use the, this is a Gemara, why does she use the word, here's the word, Ani Ho'isha, Hanitzeves, I am the woman who's nitzeves, which means standing, together with you, bozeh, over here. The Gemara, where is this Gemara? This Gemara appears in, I don't know where the Gemara is. The Gemara, maybe I'll see in a moment. The Gemara says, what's this expression, imoche? What does it mean over here? I'm standing here together with you. We learn from this that if she was standing, then Eli HaKohen also had to stand. Even the Kohen Gadol, the Gadol Hadar, is not permitted to sit down within the Dalet Amos of a person who's davening Shmona Esrei. This is not a din derabanan. This is called Divrei Kabbalah. This is a serious business. This is not a minhag. This is not an Isser Derabanan. This is derived from Divrei Kabbalah. It's called from Nevi'im. It's not on the level of a Deraisa, but it's very close to a Din Deraisa. There are two reasons given why it is forbidden. First reason given is because it's chutzpah. Chutzpah to who? If someone here is involved in being mekabel the Pnei Ashrina, you also have to do it. You have to join them. It's a chutzpah to yourself or to Hashem. If you're in a place, a makom, where currently they're serving Hashem, you also have to serve Hashem. When in Rome, you do like the Romans. This makom where Chana is standing, the whole makom becomes a makom of service to Hashem. How dare you come into this makom and decide, I don't want to serve you, Hashem. If you don't want to serve, so go to a different makom. Get out of here. Go to a new location. That's how, I'll read you what it says over here. V'harishonim kas v'shnei ta'amim. Tam echad hu shekevon shekadosh baruch hu yoyshev sham. In that dalet amos, where a person is davening Shmona Esrei. B'soich dalet amos of shel hamispalel, Shmona Esrei, k'mosh mispar. Chutzpah v'azus hi le'ish acher, for another person, le'shev, to sit botel sham and do nothing. Sharei b'zehu mevaza es HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenimsa sham. If you're sitting down within the dalet amos of a person who's davening Shmona Esrei, it's a bezoyon to Hashem. You don't want to participate in serving Hashem. That's how far the mokoim goes. You sit down and you create a mokoim. Everyone has to follow what you're doing in this location. Otherwise, it's viewed as a protest not to do so.
Does this mean if two people are sitting next to each other, this
guy is still saying... We're going to talk practical halach in a few moments. Right? Let's talk the Iker Hadin. And this, Divrei Kabbalah, there's a second reason given. The Torah and Shulchan of all the society, word for word, he has another reason. And the second time, it's because he writes. The reason is Yesh Gam Kabbalah Zal Hashem Kishatziwar Mishma Yisrael. Okay. Shegam Vizel Shoyne. Wait, let me find the place over here. Shegam Yispal Shem Neshu Al Kapanim Shispal Aleiz Etfila. Ki ilu he inyan shel kabolas ol malchus shemaim. Okay, No, no, that's not the reason I wanted to say. Oh, okay. Anyway, the Torah first basically repeats what I just told you. The same thing that we just said, it's a chutzpah. That the makom becomes occupied by, it becomes a new makom where they're serving Hashem, and if you're not going to participate, it's viewed that you, it's a chutzpah that you're not willing to also serve Hashem. And then he quotes, the Torah quotes the Shiboli Haleket, a different reason. What's the reason? Because no, I'm not reading over here. Yosheb al tzorach lo l'shachik. Where's the second reason? I got lost over here. Tam sheni shechutzon yeshiv mishol shmaya shrevu yosheb in oisek. What is going on here? One second. Okay, I remember in my mind saying is that you're being mafsik. It's considered to be that you're. It's not. This is how I remember learning. It's. You're walking in front. You're being mafsik between Hashem and the person. It's not the chutzpah. Is not. You. You're not participating. Make believe they're interviewing a person on television. There's a reporter and he has a microphone. He has a microphone and he's talking on the microphone and there's a cameraman, let's say 5 feet away from him. And you walk right in between the cameraman and the reporter. Isn't that a chutzpah? The cameraman represents the world. Okay, the world is watching. The world is watching. You have a cameraman and his camera is connected to the television sets, the internet of the entire world. They're watching. And the person is talking. And you walk, you go for a walk right in between the cameraman and the person that's speaking. It's a chutzpah. The whole world is paying attention to this fellow and you walk right in front. That's an incredible chutzpah. If a person is communicating with Hashem and you are sitting in the Dalet Amos, either on the front, the side, it's considered to be you're walking in between Hashem and this fellow. There is a communication that's taking place. Just sitting and doing nothing in those Dalet Amos is ki'ilu, you walked in between the two. So it's a chutzpah. You show no regard for the communication between Hashem and this fellow. That's very different than the first reason. The first reason is you're not walking in between. This is not a television show. You're not walking in between a reporter and the camera. It's a whole different reason. If you go into a place where everyone is serving the king, and you decide, I don't want to serve the king. Can you imagine the king walks in and everyone bows down? I don't want to bow down. Think about having this past year with the national anthem and all of the sporting events, okay? So everyone, you have a stadium of 20,000 people, everyone gets up to participate in the sing of the national anthem. And you decide, no, I don't love this country. I'm gonna kneel. I'm gonna kneel to show all of these people, all the 20,000 people, and all the people who are watching online, I don't believe in this national anthem. I don't believe in this country. This country should go rat. I'm going to kneel. I'm going to kneel when they're playing the national anthem. That's chutzpah. That's incredible chutzpah. So that's the first time. If someone right now is davening to Hashem, it's basically we're playing the national anthem. When you're playing the national anthem, it's expected for you to stand up, put your right hand on your heart. And if you choose to kneel, they're going to talk about you on the news. Look what he's trying to do. That is a chutzpah. Sitting down within the dalit amos of a person who's davening Shemona Esrei is equivalent, kaviyachol, havdil, like a person kneeling when they're playing the national anthem. The chutzpah is on you. The second time given by the Torah, it's a little bit different. It's a different type of chutzpah. It's like the President of the United States is speaking to the country, is addressing the nation, State of the Union address, and the camera is focusing on the President of the United States, and you walk in, you walk right in between the camera and the President. Mashugana, chutzpah. That's the second time given in the Torah. That is why it is categorically forbidden to sit down within the Dalit Amos of a person who's davening Shemona Esrei. And we learn this from Chana, Anoichi Ho'isha Hanitzeves Imoch. I don't know the pasuk Imoch Bozeh. I stood together with you because when I was davening Shemona Esrei, even you, the Gadol Hador, had no choice but to stand up, because you were not allowed to be, it would be a chutzpah for you also to sit while I was davening the Shemona Esrei. Now, there are exceptions to the rule. Shulchan Aruch says, what are the exceptions? The exceptions are, the only time it is categorically forbidden is if you're yoyshev batal. You're just sitting and doing nothing. Now, in the olden days, it was very rare for a person just to be yoyshev batal next to a person davening Shemona Esrei. Someone's finished Shemona Esrei, so when you sit down, you learn. If you learn, you say Tehillim, you catch up on davening, you say Korbanos. As long as you are occupied in some religious service, it's A-OK to sit down within Dalit Amos of your fellow man who is still davening the Shemona Esrei. But today we have a new world. We have smartphones. And it's very common, you see people sitting down next to their fellow who's davening Shemona Esrei, checking WhatsApp, checking the news. That is not a religious service. That is an open, blatant violation of Divrei Kabbalah. So to sit down, it's forbidden to be, it's forbidden when you're Yoyshev Botel. But if you're not Yoyshev Botel, you're sitting and you're being occupied in some service, that is okay. It seems also that if you're standing, it's not so clear why, even if you're standing and you're doing nothing, it's also okay. It's only to sit. When you sit, somehow that really puts the nail in the coffin, when you sit. But if you're standing and you're doing nothing, then there is no violation. It is to sit and to do nothing. And this halacha doesn't go away. Just because you live in America, the halacha doesn't change. This halacha is a real, it's a very real problem. At Kedei Kach, it used to be the custom, and this is clear, that this a lot has been written about this, that in the olden days, before we came across the Atlantic, and there were shuls, you don't see this in the shuls today, but who has the biggest problem with this halacha? It's the people that sit in the Mizrach, the rabbi. Because typically the rabbi sits very close to the shaliach tzibur. And maybe when it comes to the private Shemona Esrei, everyone finishes very quickly, so you're done, you don't have a problem. But during Chazaras HaShatz, the Shliach Tzibur is busy davening. He's davening on behalf of the entire Tzibur. So the Shliach Tzibur takes up a box of Dalet Amos. And who typically finds himself before the days of social distancing within Dalet Amos of the Shliach Tzibur? The rabbi. So if the rabbi gets a little tired, and the rabbi wants to sit down in his chair, and he's within Dalet Amos of the Shliach Tzibur, when during Chazaras HaShatz, it's an open violation of what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to sit within Dalet Amos of a person who's currently engaged in the Amida in Shemona Esrei. So you want to find all these solutions of why it's not going to be a problem when it comes to the silent Shemona Esrei and all the people in the congregation? Okay, we can be very creative. We can be very creative in finding solutions. But you're not going to be able to find such an easy solution for the rabbi who's within, sitting within Dalet Amos of the Shliach Tzibur during Chazaras HaShatz. And it is for this reason, you look at shuls, why there's so many different minhagim developed in Batei Knesset. You look even today, but in the Chassidus Shtiblach, it's very, very common that the rabbi is distant from the Shliach Tzibur on the other side of the Aron HaKodesh. You have the Aron HaKodesh, and the Amud is on one side, and the rabbi is on the other side. Okay, a lot of the furniture, they built it like this by Chassidim. Where does that come from? It comes from this halach in Shulchan Aruch. Because the rabbi eventually is going to have to sit down at some point, and it's going to be a violation. The Aron HaKodesh serves as a hefsek. It's a mechitza. It's a massive mechitza between the rabbi, because the rabbi and the one that's davening for the amud. So that way the rabbi should not be in violation of sitting within the Dalet Amos of the Shliach Tzibur who's davening Shmona Esrei. So the rabbi was put on the other side of the Aron HaKodesh. The rabbi would be on one darsh and the Shliach Tzibur on the other side. Okay, in the other shuls, there was actually a minhag. They have pictures. You can go look at old shuls. They actually built a wall in the situation where the rabbi wanted to breathe right on top of the Shliach Tzibur to catch him from all his mistakes, and just to be right there. They actually built a partition, not because of corona, social distancing. They built a partition in order not to be in violation of this halacha of sitting down when someone is davening the Shemon Esher. The primary purpose today that has this problem is the person who is during, because then it's a long period of time during the Chazaras Hashas, every single day, twice a day, when only one person is davening and no one else is davening. So what are you doing? What are you doing? So I want to sit down. Oh, you want to sit down? You know how to sit down. If you're sitting down and learning, that's okay. You're sitting down and davening, that's okay. But right now is not a time to daven because it's Chazaras Hashatz, and you're not supposed to be learning either. So you're listening to Shmona Esrei. Listening to Shmona Esrei doesn't seem to be enough to cut it. You need to listen to the Shmona Esrei. You still need to be standing, not sitting. You want to sit down, you got a problem. You have to have a mechitza to separate you. Now there's another halacha. Another halacha is even if you are standing, you're not allowed to pass in front of a person who is davening Shmona Esrei. Now this is an entirely different reason. This is an entirely different principle, because here you're not sitting, you're standing. So there's no issue, but there's another halacha, you're not allowed to walk in front of him. Why not? So there are different reasons given. The main reason appears to be because you're going to disturb him. It's not their cheretz to disturb a person who is in middle of the amida lifnei the melech malchei amlachim. It's a chutzpah on your part to disturb him. Others say it's not a matter of disturbing him. It really goes back to similar to the first reason. It's viewed to be a chutzpah to walk between the cameraman and the person who's being interviewed. So then it would not be relevant to a situation where the person is being disturbed. It's just not their cheretz. Lemai nafgamina. If the person is not disturbed, why is he not disturbed? He's anyway not davening. No, just joking. He's wrapped up in a talus. He's draped in a talus. If a person is draped up in a talus and anyway is not seeing what's going on in front of them, so then there's no disturbance. But as far as the other reason that you're being mavsik between the person and the shechina, then it would not make a difference that he's draped up in a talus. And then comes the question, what about walking on the sides? What about walking behind him? Okay, so there are definitely a lot of leniencies that only applies walking in front of the person, matter of disturbance. And then comes the issue that if the person has the chutzpah, if a person comes late to mincha, Meir always talks about this, person comes late to mincha, and he starts mincha very, very late, and he stands right in the aisle, and he finishes the Shmona Esrei much, much later than everyone else because he got a very late start. So then, if a person has done something illegal, you have no obligation to respect him. If a person davens in a seat like everyone else, and he finishes davening like everyone else, and you happen to daven very quickly, and you finish your davening, then you're not allowed to walk in front of him. Too bad for you. You're not allowed to go in front of him. So sitting down, no, so sitting down next to him is really a big problem. I don't know what to tell you. I don't have it. There is, he goes through the whole issue over here. It's really not so simple to sit down next to a person. The solution to sit down is to learn. If you're sitting down and you're learning, or you are davening, you're saying Tehillim, or saying part of the davening, that is 100% mutter. But just to sit down and do nothing, and certainly to sit down and to text, is mamish osur. And there's no one can find a heter for this. There really is no heter. Just to sit down within, let's say, 3 feet of a person who's davening Shemona Esrei, you can stand next to him, but you can't sit next to him. So what is going to be, let's say, on the Yom Noraim. Yom Noraim, the yeshivas, people have long Shemona Esreis, and there's, you're very limited where you're given an assigned seat, and you want to sit, and I don't want to daven. You know, it's a very long davening, Yom Kippur. I'm very tired. I get very tired, and the guy next to me, I don't know what he's doing. He's shuckling away the whole day. He's davening these very long Shmoneh Esrei, and I'm very tired, and I just want to rest. I just want to take a break. I don't want to learn. I don't want to say Tehillim. I'm very tired. I just want to relax during the davening, whatever. And the guy next to me, this young kid, he's shuckling away, mamish, like the Energizer bunny. He keeps on going. So what am I supposed to do? I don't know. It's a very big problem. During the year, at least where I daven, most of the place where I daven the whole year, I don't got this problem. Because there's always enough space. And it doesn't, it's not always such a big deal. Occasionally, you do find yourself in a very, maybe by a simcha, you go to a simcha. Occasionally, you do, you'd be surprised, you think it's an everyday, it's not an everyday event. It doesn't happen every day, the situation. But occasionally, you do find yourself standing next to, situated next to a person who's having a long Shmoneh Esrei, and you just want to sit down and relax. I'm not in the mood now of learning. I'm not in the mood now of saying Tehillim. I want to sit down and relax. What is one to do? I don't know. It's a very big problem because technically it's aser. And to walk in front of a person who's not in Shmoneh Esrei, that's also that it's categorically aser, either because of you walking in front of the Shechina or because you're walking in front of the Shechina or you are disturbing him. But of course, if a person does something illegal, he comes into a makom where he decides, I have to daven Shmoneh Esrei in the hallway, right by the entrance. So no one can go to the bathroom. excuse me, sir, you have no right to daven your Shmoneh Esrei by the front door and say, oh, everyone's not allowed to walk in front of me now because I'm davening Shmoneh Esrei. In ikesh tetapel. That, of course, the halacha does not apply to this person. Okay, so now, here's just something interesting that I want to point out. Yesterday we learned, I want to tell you now, it was total nonsense, but I want to anyway suggest it. Those people here in this virtual room who are learning Daf Yomi, yesterday was Daf Pei Zayin Masechta Erevin. Yesterday there was a very interesting Gemara, talks about a principle called Koif. What is koif? Koif means, like, let's take a step back. There's something called good achis. Good achis means if you have a wall that's 10 tefachim, a vertical wall that's 10 tefachim, you can say, even though the wall does not go down to the ground, we, through the principle of halacha l'moshe b'Sinai, it's as if the wall extends all the way down to the ground. Now you can't always say that, because there's another principle called mechitza shehagidim boitkin ba, that if on the bottom is open, it's not a partition because rodents, animals can go through. But sometimes it's not irrelevant, and sometimes we do say a principle called good achis, where we let the wall go all the way down, make believe, virtual walls, a lot of virtual concepts in the Gemara. And then everyone knows the sugya of lavud. Anything that's less than 3 tefachim from the surface is as if it's on the surface. I always tell you the story of my father, Zohar Levracha. He was a die-in for the RCA, and there was once a very, very big celebrity case, and people came to give character testimony about a person that was a very bizarre case. My father was one of the dayanim, and this person was accused. Part of the things that he did was he once picked up a knife to somebody. He was sitting at the table, and he picked up a knife to somebody. So this person, he said to my father in defense, the knife was leveled with the table. You hear such a story? You hear such a defense? I didn't pick up the knife. It was leveled with the table. You ever hear such a defense? Leveled with the table. Okay, so we know there's something called leveled. There's something called good achis. There's something called doifen akuma, a bent wall in the laws of sukkah. And yesterday, for those who learned daf yomi and daf ayin, zayin, omer aleph, and masech the erevin, there's a new principle we never heard before called koif. What does koif mean? We bend horizontal surfaces downward. Although this looks like a horizontal surface, there's a principle in halacha that allows us to take a horizontal surface and to make believe it's not horizontal, but it is vertical. So Gemara, Begor Mefureshes, according to Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya. This is the Shita of Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya. And the Gemara there discussed it in relation to drawing water on Shabbos. So here's my dilemma to you, which is really total nonsense. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because and this big discussion about what do we do in today, modern day, where we always have this issue of people that are in close vicinity. Many of the poskim can take note that in the previous generations, it was very popular to sit on benches, in pews. Mm-hmm. Okay, a lot of the old shuls, mm-hmm. right? Here in the Young Israel Midwood, they have pews upstairs. Mm-hmm. It's a dying breed. The pews today is a dying breed. Mm-hmm. Okay, but it used to be a shul. You're not called a shul. It's not called a shul unless you have pews. Right. Pews and all in kibbutz lavi, they make a nice, they this is what they specialize in, and they've produced some magnificent shul furniture. Yeah. And in Eretz Yisrael, it's very popular. It's very popular to have benches, and what we have today is not as elaborate. Even kibbutz lavi, they make beautiful stuff. But I'm assuming that back in the day, in the old shuls on the other side of the Atlantic, there were even more elaborate benches and pews. And many of those benches and pews were lahalocha, a real machitza, created a real partition. The vertical height was more than 10 tefachim, the vertical areas, and even in between. And many of those, you take a good look, you probably go online and see some pictures of the old pews and the old shuls, and they were done by design. Some want to say they were done by design in order to give every person, the Beis HaKnesses, his own halachic makom. It's not just enough every person has an assigned seat. There's a benefit in halacha that you have your own halachic makom, because in halacha, when you daven, you acquire dalit amos. And it becomes a problem for someone else being within your Dalet Amos, unless you can be boxed in, right? Unless you're boxed in. If you're boxed in, then it's going to be okay. There's no problem. Can you imagine social distancing? Everyone stays 6 feet apart, unless you're in a box. We sell boxes. So we can limit the distance of 6 feet. By the way, six feet is mamish dalet amos. Very interesting. 6 feet is dalet amos. Everyone gets their own makon in this.
Some post. Shuls do have
mamish boxes, right?
That's enclosures.
They spend a lot of money on this. All the stuff, all these schools, enclosures, exactly. Mamish boxes.
But I say where I daven, I see there are some of those. They're, you know,
enclosures.
Not for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
You pay extra, you get that. I call them cabanas.
Okay, you saw the new joke on social media. It's a joke.
Someone's been to Florida, know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
There's a new joke going around on social media. The joke is that I'll just paraphrase it in my language. The CDC has discovered that corona can only be spread in the air above 3 feet from the ground. A new discovery. Corona only lives in the air 3 feet. So therefore, for the purpose of safety, we ask the entire world
to crawl.
Mm. Everyone now should only crawl. Okay, what they think of, what are they going to think of next, right? The Litzanis goes on. The oil and void. Now let's go back to our topic. So today, we don't have that. You go into your average shul, a lot of people don't like the pews. It's too confining. It's too claustrophobic. People like a lot of space. But what happens is you have a problem. So I'm asking a question. I don't have an answer to the question. And obviously what I'm telling you is shtus. But why is it really shtus? If you have a table, now many tables here are pretty narrow. But in the Young Israel of Midwood, we have some wide tables. Okay, so if you have a table, all the table really needs to be to say koif is 11 tefachim. How big is 11 tefachim?
44 inches.
44 inches. No, less than that, yeah?
33 inches.
Okay, let's say it's 33 inches. Okay, so a little bit more than little more than two and a half feet. 2.5 feet. We have tables here that are at least 3 feet wide. Okay, I see a table over the table, some of the wider tables, this table over here, this table in the front. How big is this table? One, two, 2.5 feet. So I would assume that the table over here in this shul over here, they have a lot of tables, is more than 11, 12 tefachim. And according to the Gemara yesterday that we learned, whenever you have a horizontal surface, that's about 11, let's say, even 10 tefachim. Even, you don't even need to live in 10 tefachim. There is a principle called koif, where we make believe a horizontal surface is a vertical surface. And we apply that rule when it comes to a shaila of chil Shabbos, of going from a karmelis to a reshus hayochid, which is a clear iser derabanan. So why can't we apply that principle to create virtual lamdasha mechitzais to separate people from one another, to permit people to sit down when they are in front of each other or behind each other? There is something called koif. So if you're in a shul that has a table, and the table is really just 10 tefachim, you know, just 10 tefachim wide. 10 tefachim wide is about 30 inches. I don't think you have to be more, even less, even 28 inches. If you have a table, so why can't the table itself, a horizontal table, even though you don't have a vertical area to make a wall, why can't we apply the principle of halacha called koif, Rabbi Hananya Ben Akavia, and Daf Ayin Zayin talks about this principle called koif. And after you do koif, you then continue to say good achis. It goes all the way down virtually to the ground. We combine two halacha lemoshe misinais together, in his opinion. Koif and good achis. So if you have a table that's 10 tefachim wide, why can't we that be considered a leniency to suggest that itself will be called a mechitza? We always look at mechitza, it has to be vertical mechitza, a wall separating one from the other. But in halacha, there's something called a virtual mechitza, and a table, more often than not, does have those dimensions which can serve, and that will be a heter, at least to sit down in front of or behind the person that is still davening their Shemona Esrei. They are considered to be in their own rishos, in their own domain. Okay, so to wind down, let's review very quickly what we learned today. We learned today about the principle called Mokoyim. We learned from Avraham Avinu, after he suffered an abysmal failure, a defeat, yet he returned to that Mokoyim. From Mir Chazal learned, when you daven, kol ha-kavei ha-mokoyim l'tfilosoy, ha-kadosh Baruch Hu yeh bo-ezroy, we learned from Avraham to be kavei ha-mokoyim, a Mokoyim to daven. And the lamdas is to show that it's not the environment, it's you, it's your tefillah. The other reason why we have a shul today is not because only because of this, it's because of Mikdash Ma'at. And my nafgamina, even if you don't have, you don't have the Kedusha, you should still have a makam. There's a third benefit. The benefit is it takes away concentration. Lahalacha, we know lahalacha, a person when he davens has a very specific dalet amos. We learn from Chana, the Gemara says, that you're not allowed to sit in the place where a person is davening. And we learn two reasons. Number one, it's as if you're walking between the camera and the speaker. Number two, it's like when they're singing the national anthem and you decide to kneel. And that's a very good example. They're singing the national anthem, you're kneeling. Those are the two reasons why you're not allowed to sit when someone is davening Shemona Esrei within your Dalid Amos. What is the solution? You can sit but learn. Learn something. Daven. If you're learning and you're davening, it goes to show that you're not having chutzpah, it's okay. Or stand, do nothing, but at least stand. Either stand and do nothing, or sit and learn. That would be a solution. And there's another halacha, that you're not allowed to walk in front. Even if you're standing, you're not allowed to pass in front of a person who's davening Shemona Esrei. Two reasons, take away his concentration. Number two, it's like walking between the camera and the speaker. Same idea, what's the nafka mina in this case? If he's not going to be distracted, he's draped in a talus. There's no distraction, it'll be mutter. But if it's because you're walking between Hashem and him, it would still be forbidden to walk, to pass, even though you're standing, to pass in front of him. And then we speak about the olden days, that pews, which were halachic mechitza between the people. The rabbi sits on the other side of the Aron in order that he should not be this problem which happens all the time with the Aron, with Chazor Sashatz. Because Chazor Sashatz, the Bal Tfila, he is an Oymate. He's davening Shemona Esrei. There's no excuse. How could the rabbi or the people in the Mizrach, they're within the Dalet Amos, they can't sit and just do nothing? Big problem. That's why the shuls, they put the rabbi on the other side of the Aron, or they would actually build some type of partition separating the rabbi, a partition of the rabbi and the person who's davening for the Amun, so there should not be a violation of Halacha in this matter. And we asked the question, why can't we suggest that even having a table, a flat horizontal surface that's 10 tefachim wide, we know there's a principle in the Gemara called koif. Why can't that be considered, even if we don't have a vertical mechitza, why can that be considered mechitza? You have something that's 10 tefachim, you say koif, and then you say good achis. It creates a virtual separation between you and your fellow man. If it's good enough in order to allow you to carry water from a caramelist to a Rosh HaYachid, it should certainly be good enough to create a virtual mechitza to separate you and your fellow man, so it should not be considered a violation of sitting within the domain of a person that's down with Shimon Esrei, in violation of what it says, Bechana, Anochi Ha'isha, Netzeves Imocha Bozeh. That's how we left with this question. We don't have an answer. We never heard such a thing, we never saw such an any safer, but why not? It's the Gemara. And with that, we will conclude. May you all have a wonderful day.